You might have guessed why we have two scripture leaflets in our bulletin. Last Sunday, the first Sunday in Advent, we had attendance of three. And I checked with Hillary and later Jim, and they're not awesome this morning. So this morning, I'll attempt to bring you up to speed on Advent, including looking ahead from last Sunday to Christmas Eve as we attempt to manage both the commercial and religious aspects of life during these weeks. Is your calendar for these weeks a jumble of musts? There's shopping, wrapping, shipping, delivery. There are Christmas cards. There's the tree to be bought, trimmed, and watered every day. There's the outside decorating. There's whatever baking we might do. There's a Messiah concert and a family gathering. There's an Advent wreath-making dinner and a caroling party in 2 weeks. There's the school holiday program and the office Christmas party. Don't forget the gifts for the people, for the folks who help us get through, the person who cuts our hair, the letter carrier, in some places, the doorman and the super. There are people to pick up at the airport, perhaps. Maybe there are some December birthdays for good measure. I'm one of those. It's all there on your calendar, be it paper or digital, and it's all your time. And then, there's God's time. It's all contained within the circle of the Advent wreath you see on the altar. The wreath with the first two candles lit this morning. It's the beginning of Advent for us, the beginning of the church year. That big wheel of time that every year turns us from the waiting of Advent to the joy of Christmas, to the waiting of Lent to the joy of Easter, to the waiting of Eastertide to the joy of Pentecost, to the joy of life in ordinary time, and back again. So here is the overall span of God's time. We enter this morning. These candles mark the beginning of the time we will spend with the prophet Isaiah, the prophet from the Hebrew Scriptures and the Gospel of Matthew. The light of the first candle, the one opposite the pink one, infuses today's Advent 1 readings. Isaiah implores his listeners to walk in the light of the Lord into the kingdom where the people do not learn how to make war, but instead turn their energies toward cultivating the earth and not destroying it. Paul echoes Isaiah's vision when he urges his listeners to wake up, to leave the works of darkness and to put on the armor of light. Paul also echoes what he had heard when Jesus said to his disciples, the words that Matthew attributes to him, "Keep awake, therefore." This Sunday, when we light the first and second candles, Isaiah will remind us what happens in the light. Growth. A green shoot from a dead stump. Paul will remind us of Isaiah's prediction about that dead stump of David's line bearing new fruit in the person of Jesus. John the Baptist, the one Isaiah predicted would come, will appear in the blinding sunlight of the desert, telling us to prepare the way for the one who will use water and fire to make us his own. On the third Sunday, we light three candles. Isaiah will tell us about deserts that bloom, the blind who see, and the lame who leap. James will remind us in his letter that it takes time for the earth to bloom. He will use the prophets as examples of those who waited patiently for their faith to bear fruit. Jesus will confirm John the Baptist's suspicions about him. Indeed, he is the one whom Isaiah predicted. Through him the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the people hear the good news of the coming of the kingdom. On the fourth Sunday of Advent, four candles will burn on this wheel, and the promises will soon be fulfilled. Isaiah will tell us about a young woman who will give birth to a son and name him Emmanuel, God with us. Matthew will set Jesus' birth to Mary and Joseph in the light of Isaiah's prediction. Paul will tell the Romans that Jesus fulfills everything the prophets promised us. Finally, we'll light the big central candle, central light on the Advent wheel. And on Christmas Eve, we will hear John's Gospel with those mysterious and powerful words. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all the people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. And so the circle of Advent time comes around again. But Advent is not a time we go through the motions of remembering a story whose ending we already know. It's worth remembering that we begin our journey around this wheel this morning with Jesus' own prediction of how he will come to us again. Advent is about Jesus coming once and promising to come again. This time of Advent is about the light shining in the darkness, but not obliterating the darkness. It is about the kingdom having already come near to us, but not yet having been fulfilled. There is much work left to be done, not just all we face these next 4 weeks. But you know what? Christmas always comes whether we get it all done perfectly or not. Will the kingdom come in a similar, inevitable way? What will we have done to hasten its coming? Will we recognize it when it comes? Who are we? Which farmer in the field? Which woman grinding meal? Will we go about our pre-Christmas tasks, marking out our time, and forget about the Advent stories of God's time? Or perhaps we overlay these two arcs of time, taking good care of the tasks that will make for both the special holiday season and staying awake for the sign of the kingdom of God's time breaking into our time. Because it is not that we should enjoy the hustle and bustle of the secular season of X number of days until Christmas, even though some preachers are known to guilt us into thinking it is less than Christian to fall to this month's commercialism. 1 year about this time, Mary Luke, who is a United Church of Christ pastor, wrote in her blog that she was, quote, simply getting tired of listening to sermons in Advent that draw a sharp line between the bad world of getting and spending, which barely acknowledges or even notices the reason for the season, and another good world in which none of that goes on, and into which Jesus is born properly, cleanly, to the sound of angels singing, not cash registers ringing. The second world, she said, does not exist. We have only one world, this world we live in, the one in which God finds us and loves us because of our longing for something beyond ourselves. Jesus never asked us not to be human. Ludi pointed out that Jesus became human came into the chaos of our world to Show us how to navigate our way through it, using love and compassion as our touchstones. Love and compassion. Amen.